and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Glorious Day. This is the program where Pastor Barry and I try to help y'all get ready for the revival, which means really talking about crucial, cutting-edge Christian issues.
Amen.
That we need to look at in our own lives on our journey. And speaking of journey, that's the theme. We have J-Dub561 with us, a.k.a. Jeff Williams.
Hello, hello.
A great friend of the radio station, great friend of ours. And we started, we had him here because over coffee one morning, he was sharing the fruits of his wilderness journey not too long ago. It was about a six-month journey of just literally getting away, detaching from everything that was common out there in the wilderness, kind of, more or less, near grocery stores, thank God, and public toilets and stuff like that. But that a place where he could listen to God, where he could be separate from the hustle and bustle of life. And much fruit came out of that. But fruit was born out of the ground of suffering, because that's the Christian journey is always about growing through suffering, and you come out the other side.
Right.
So he's been sharing with us. You can go on demand for the last 2 weeks, the 5th and the 13th of this month, and hear him from the very beginning and hear the programs, because I think it'd be good. They're all connected, but God really had us stick with it for the three programs we do record. So out of this, Jeff was talking about youth and ministry to youth, young people. He spoke about the negatives of social media and all that, which I totally agree with you. But then the question arose, and this is why we're kind of moving into this, is how do believing Christians who have a call to nurture other people, especially young Christians, how do we nurture young people? How do we help them understand the life as a journey and the suffering part? And really, maybe a larger question is, how do we, and I say we, I'm 72, Barry is a little younger, and we already know you're 45. And by the way, I did the math. You've been following the Lord for 29 years.
Thank
just
you very
so
much.
You know.
All right,
you can
all
tell
right.
people now. But and people at every stage in their walk, but something the church has done poorly for a long time. And when I say done poorly, I mean people say we give money to the youth group and we have a room for them to meet in the church and all of this, and we make sure they see movies and stuff. And the point is, okay, maybe those are helpful, but really getting them into the Christian life, I don't believe a lot of churches are able to do that, even though they think they're doing it.
Yeah.
So what does it look like? What are we supposed to do with youth?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's not an easy row to hoe, right? It's not. It's tough, okay? So, you know, I come at it with that first and foremost.
Excuse me, but you have years and years and years as a youth pastor. So you have experience, you have time and grade. I want people to understand this is not something you just came up with 2 weeks ago. You have experience in this. So, sorry, go back to what you were saying.
Correct. So those 29 years that I've been following the Lord, probably about 25 of them has been spent in youth and young adults. And only the latter was young adults. The majority of it was youth all the time. Everything from, you know, suburban youth to, you know, kids in the jails, the penitentiaries, to the street corners. I've done it all. And, you know, at the end of the day, authenticity resonates, period. Sure, there's great icebreakers. And, you know, for many years I did the Christian hip-hop because it was just a passion of mine. I came from that world, you know, writing hip-hop music, recording, performing, and I called it the world's most expensive icebreaker, you know, because kids connect at a superficial level. It's just, you know, you're a kid, so there's not much depth to you, and mm-hmm. you're entertained and so on and so forth. And, you know, so connecting that first initial connection is tough. But at the root of it, the challenge through prayer and through relationship is to for them to see somebody who's authentic, mm-hmm. and then for you to teach them how to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
And it sounds simple, but it's not.
It's not.
No,
because you have to be willing to suffer for that authenticity.
Amen.
And they'll call you out.
And it is long and arduous and tough. It's a backpack that's filled with tons and tons of bricks that you'll have to carry if you want to walk with them. Because you're going to have to walk with them, and you're going to have to carry them, and you're going to have to encourage them, and you're going to have to get phone calls day and night from these kids that you're mentoring and leading mm-hmm. and loving and being real with. And it is not easy. If you can't throw on a movie and have the gummies and all the bull crap and think that's just going to work. It's not. It's not, because I've seen it go, and it always goes downhill. You got to be ready to connect with a real spiritual walk and teach them how to walk that spiritual walk through prayer, through reading of the word, through evangelizing, through all the spiritual disciplines that the Word of God teaches us. That's not going to connect. Yes, it will.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Their yes. heart is yearning for it. And if you are authentic and yearning for it too and willing to invest, it's 24/7. Mm. It will connect mm-hmm. and you will resonate. And the fluff, is not going to do it. Yeah, we have the fun times. It's kid. It's high energy. You got to, But at the end of the day, you better have some backbone in that. I hate to say the word program. You better have some backbone in your ministry, which is AKA relationships with these young adults mm-hmm. and youth. Because if you don't have the grit to go through the trenches and to suffer with them, to struggle with them, then it ain't going to work. Because they're going to go off and find the easy fix, the dopamine fix from social media, from literal dope, from alcohol, from sex, from relationships, from pride, and all those things that the world, that the adults are filling themselves with.
Right.
It's the yeah. same thing. But you got to be a minister who's willing to be authentic behind the closed doors and in front of them with them. And then you also got to be willing to walk with them and carry them sometimes. And it's not easy. And that's why most youth pastors only last, on average 2 years.
Right. And then mm-hmm. they check out.
Yeah. Because it's tough.
And when you give those stats, and I know they're true, they last a short time because they are doing exactly what you said, right? They are sure. working on being authentic. They're developing real relationships with these kids where it's their spiritual at the heart of it. God is moving, Holy Spirit's moving, but yeah, they're high maintenance.
Yes.
Because of their age.
Yes.
They don't have a lot of experience, and they may not have made a personal relationship, but you're nurturing them toward understanding the power
yep.
and the need for that relationship.
Yeah, it's tough. But, moving to the young adult section, which the young adult is getting older and older today, by yeah. the way. the young adult programs are blowing up because yeah. they're still living in the youth program, if you know what I mean, and mm-hmm. in their 20s. But, I go back to this social media world that we're living in, this social media social experiment that's gone on with our society. That is an absolute failure, abysmal failure that's taxing on them. Everything is fake, and the young adults have seen it's all fake. They know it's fake. They put on the filters. They put on their best makeup and hair and everything and get the right angle, take 30,000 shots, and then pick one. And it's garbage. They know it's garbage. All we have to do is be authentic and be real. And we got, the people that I minister to, I'm plugged in literally 24/7 to those people mm-hmm. and supporting and loving and helping. And that's how I've always been. Like, yeah. If you get connected with me, we're connected for life. I'm still connected to people that I ministered to when they were in high school 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I am. But that's how I see the gospel.
Right. Yeah.
This, you know, I remember when I was in college, a college student said to me, "Yeah, I hate pastors. I hate youth pastors. You know, they're just so fake."
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Let that resonate for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if there are any youth pastors listening, and I hope you haven't turned off by now, you're still with us because you're going through your own spiritual journey. You're suffering, wondering, and now God's going to take you out of it. But it all falls back on prayer, because we've got to stay connected with the Lord. And if, as a pastor, I have found that my prayer life has to be more intense, more heavily invested, maybe, than
the
people I'm ministering to. Because
absolutely,
I got to be hearing from the Lord.
Yeah.
Have I always done that? No. You know, how many confessions have I made to the Lord that I failed him in that regard? But still, it's true. And if you are a youth pastor, don't give up.
Yeah.
But maybe you need a wilderness journey where for a few days or a week, or if you can get away for a month or whatever, and ask the Lord what you need to do to continue to be able to minister to the youth you're called to minister to.
And I like to add to what you said, you know, asking the Lord what I need to do, because here's the situation. If you can't be authentic, then you need to reevaluate your situation.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
That is a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Well, J-Dub, you don't understand. I got to get these numbers. I got to have my program. I got to. No, you don't. No, you don't. Well, that's what my job is based on. If I don't, you know. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You better be willing to sacrifice your job, your paycheck, or whatever it is to be authentic.
Amen.
Because that's all that matters. And if you're not all the fluff in the world and the fattest $200,000 paycheck, which I don't know many youth pastors making $200,000. I'm sure they're somewhere, but I don't know where.
I don't know.
the ones who've written books,
maybe,
you know, on top of their salary.
Very few and far between.
Yeah.
Let's just say you're the high end. You're making $100,000 a year. It ain't worth it. Give it up. Walk away until you can be authentic. Because unfortunately, the young man I told the story about that said, you know, I just can't stand youth pastors. They're so fake.
Mm-hmm.
That's not unique. I've been told that many times.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into the reasons why, but I'm saying if you're that person, I don't care if you're a youth pastor, you're a pastor, you're whatever you are, it's worth the price to be real and authentic.
Amen.
Even if your followers become only 12.
It Amen. Doesn't. Numbers never can. It's who God sends you and what he has you do for them and with them and all of that. Well, I want to do a reality check just to get us back to something very fundamental that's part of why this show even exists, and then move back into what you've just been talking about. We know, at least many of us, I think most of us know that the church needs to change. And if you've been looking around and seeing, you know, that I'm just going to speak now very broadly. So if you're an individual and you know things are different in your place, that's fine. That's great. Praise God. But generally speaking, and I'll keep to America, the mainline churches in America are not, they're not in the condition as a group to deal with the coming revival. Now, people say, well, how do you know there's a coming revival? Well, there are a lot of factors there. If you look closely, you can see there's fires of revival burning in places they weren't burning before.
Mm-hmm.
We also have, and I'm very confident when I speak about the return, which is a specific movement to return to God, to repent, to bring this nation to repentance because of all of our national sins. I won't go into the list. But most of you know, if you're pro-lifers, you know one of them anyway, and all the other gender issues. So you can make a list yourself. But the point is that this grieves God. And I don't want to grieve God, but I know our nation has. Now, God has heard the repentance. I believe that he has, as I'm a member, as we all are, let's say, of the faithful remnant.
Mm-hmm.
And God has assured me that, and others that I, many others that I've spoken to, that in fact, he has heard the prayers of the faithful remnant. He is moving to heal our land. He is moving to bring about repentance, which leads to revival. And I see that.
Mm.
I see that in so many places. And maybe it's the gift I have working in Christian media at a level where we're a nexus for everything that's going on.
That's right.
In the world, you know, where God is doing stuff. So we have a nice eagle's eye view of that. And so that's what I'm seeing. If you're not seeing it, ask God if I'm seeing it properly, mm-hmm. or show you. But I do believe we're moving to revival. When, I don't know. But very, very, very soon. But in order for revival to happen, the church has to be in a different state than it is today. Meaning, we first of all, we have to be in unity, and we've used that theme here on the show many times.
Yeah.
We have to stand shoulder to shoulder. We have to walk away for just a moment from the denominational shingles we have hanging over our head and come together over the commonality of the mm-hmm. gospel message and Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
As Paul said, what he really important to him was Jesus Christ and him crucified. And of course, the resurrection. That's what makes us common. That's the message the lost need to hear of any age, old or young. And that's the message that they're going to be hungry for as God inspires, inflames, ignites revival
Amen.
For the work of his Holy Spirit.
Come
now,
on.
I believe that God is doing this right now. He's raising up his church. And there's going to come a day when those who have chosen to stay behind the four walls of their buildings and hide out from the Holy Spirit, and God will allow you to do that. But you're going to see a revival first in the church. You're going to see God, the Holy Spirit, raising people up, bringing them out into the streets, into the shopping centers, into the movie, wherever God's people want, he wants them to be to share Christ. And at the same time, God is setting fire in the hearts of the lost.
Amen.
And a deep, abiding hunger for the gospel.
Mm.
Now, when those two events meet, boom, it's going to be, you know, a whole different day.
Amen.
And that's why Barry and I do this, and why J-Dub is here tonight, is because it's so important for the church to get your head out of your nether regions, get on your knees, deep in the word,
Amen.
And say, all right, ask God, is there a revival coming? And if so, what do I need to do that I'm not doing now?
Yeah.
And now back to one place, the church, again, I'm indicting the church because that's what I do, in part because I know that it's true, is the church has done a bad, poor ministry, really, to youth. The real gut-level ministry hasn't happened. It's happening in places. You've done it. But it needs to happen on a much broader scale.
Oh, yeah.
Having said that, what is God giving you to share with people listening right now?
Mm-hmm.
How can they may not all be called to do that, but how must the church, rather, respond to the youth right now?
Yeah, so this is, you know, God was really just speaking to me as you were speaking. And by the way, you guys that are listening, you can't see right now, Dave's mic is literally on fire.
And smoke coming off.
There's smoke coming off that microphone right now. Whoo! I was about ready to make a donation, brother. I was like, come on, preach it!
Where is that basket?
Pass it around.
Yeah.
One more time. Here's the situation. This is what people need to do. Okay? It's not complicated. Nobody wants to do it. You need to pray, God, use me to disciple.
Amen.
God, use me to disciple. That means you're walking hand in hand with somebody, teaching them how to walk hand in hand with somebody. It's not complicated. It's reading God's word on a daily basis. It's praying on a daily basis. It's sharing with others.
Mm, yeah.
But you need, we need, I need to be discipling somebody, if not multiple people, but at least one person. And oftentimes, God will bring somebody that's younger, that's, you know, inexperienced, and that's where your wisdom and maturity comes in. A lot of people shy away. I can't, or I won't. I'm not qualified. I'm too old. I'm too, you name it. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a mature Christian, you've read the Word of God, you know God is not a respecter of persons. He will use anybody and anything that is willing and yielded to Him, and He has called us, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He didn't say this is only for the pastor of the, you know, first, mm-hmm. you know, whatever church of wherever America. It's for the called. Make disciples. Walk hand in hand. Pray. Be that leader. Be that person that goes above and beyond so that you can share. You can, and there's people doing this. Few.
Mm.
But that's it. That's it. God will bring you a youth. God might bring you somebody in their 20s or somebody in their teens or somebody that's elementary age.
Mm-hmm.
But be that disciple maker. Be that person that's there for them
mm-hmm.
for the rest of their life. The rest of their life? The rest of their life.
Yeah.
It's called a commitment.
Thank you.
Amen.
It's a little thing that Jesus did for all of us.
Yeah.
Take it as an example.
Have you noticed with young folks that, particularly teenagers, they get drawn in quicker by tactile experiences? For instance, a group of kids unloading food at a church,
mm-hmm.
running the food to the cars, doing the grunt work, dirty fingernail work. I see them more excited about that than doing something, you call it fluff, but you know, something fun. Fun is good, but I saw eyes light up when they were feeding the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these kids come from well-heeled houses, you know, never really thought about having a, you know, a problem getting food or a car. And yet I see these eyes light up when there's that connection between the poorest of the poor and the teenager who's been committed, if you will, to that shift.
Mm.
At this local, I won't say which church, but there's a church that has a big feeding ministry. And the prayer, the blessing and the prayer before the food is given out the doors, is that these young people will find the eyes of Christ looking back at them in the poorest of the poor, and the least, the last, the lost, you know, as it goes.
Mm.
And I see an excitement in that group. Not all of them. They're mm-hmm. teenagers.
Yeah.
Some are there for other reasons.
Yeah.
But some will come up to me later on saying, I think I saw them. And they got a genuine smile on their face.
Yep.
Like they've done something good, and they're proud of themselves.
Yeah. And again, I think that goes back to answer your question, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. And to me, that goes back to discipleship. Mm-hmm. Because discipleship, part of that discipleship is being the hands and feet of Jesus, getting out there doing the grunt work, like you called it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, giving poor people food or making a meal or painting a house. Yeah, man. I mean, totally connects and resonates, and that's part of that discipleship is getting out there and doing the work. But I think it even resonates even more today, and our society has put more of an emphasis on colleges. It's part of that. You got to do volunteer hours at most colleges just to graduate now.
That's right.
You know, it's part of our society, and I think it resonates with people, young adults especially, to want to do good or to give back. And to answer your question, yes. That resonates with young adults, and that to me, it's part of that discipleship process of doing the work and being that example by doing the work mm-hmm. and getting them involved in doing it as well.
Amen. And time is slowly running out. I have to say that.
How'd that happen?
Well, I don't know. We just kept talking, and it was all wonderful, and God was in charge. We have about 3 minutes, maybe 2.5, actually. But in that time, I was going to ask you, J-Dub. And in lieu of closing in prayer, although we often do that, God's put one thing on your heart that you could say as an encouragement especially to youth pastors, but also to people who have a heart for youth and maybe they don't know how to apply it, what would that be?
I think if, you know, first of all, to the youth pastors out there, we're praying for you. We love you. Don't give up. Mm. Don't give in. They're worth it. And the few that get it are what it's about. Mm-hmm. If you're an authentic youth pastor out there investing and you only got the one guy or two guys, two gals that really, really get it, they're worth it. Mm. Those two people are worth it. They're worth your entire paycheck. They're worth your entire life. And we don't ever know. And to the Sunday school teacher that's teaching the children that are busy eating color crayons.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, yeah. One of those kids, you never know, could be the next Billy Graham. They're worth it.
Mm. Yeah.
Just one. If you got one kid in your Sunday school class, disciple him, love on him, show him Christ. He's worth it. Don't give up. I think that's the biggest word of encouragement and message that I would say. It's a discovery. If you want to follow Jesus, you're going to have bumps and bruises along the way. You're going to learn some stuff along the way. You're going to mess up, but don't give up.
Amen.
I'm going to say that one more time because it preaches. You're going to mess up, but don't give up.
Amen.
I love that. That's so true.
I look forward to the day when those who have a heart for youth will not see themselves as holy babysitters.
Amen.
But will actually see that they are exactly doing what Jesus had his disciples do when he sent them out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were scared, and they didn't know what to do, but they trusted the Holy Spirit, and they were led and nourished and nurtured by the Spirit of God, and they came back to him with incredible successes.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Great stories, of which I wish we had more. And I wish we had more time. J-Dub, Jeff Williams, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having
with
me.
Us.
Thank you so much, guys.
What a great
opportunity.
You know, by the way, you're coming back.
All right.
I don't know when. I don't know when, but you're coming back.
When does this show air?
Yeah, this show will air the 20th.
The 20th, because on February 22nd, Jesus Revolution comes out in the movie theaters. It looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks amazing about the young generation in the 70s connecting with Jesus out in California.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
We've got to
see
then.
That.
So
we've got to see that.
Go out there and see Jesus Revolution, because I think it's going to start sparking that revolution here in our today's day and age.
I believe so. I believe that revival is coming ever closer.
Amen. Amen.
God bless y'all. Thank God you bless. For listening. Talk
Thank
to you,
you
next week.
God bless.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Here is the first big question. What does the Bible actually say about heaven? What does it say? We all want to go there when we die, right? Mind you, we don't want to die to get there.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church, inviting you to join us for the Grace Alive radio program every Friday and Saturday at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO.
What has eight legs and runs every time the phone rings? A telemarketing arachnid? Why, no, it's our WCNO staff, of course. And our spring prayer and share fundraiser is coming up, starting Monday, March 20th, and running for 2 weeks. We will be joyfully there to take your calls, receive your financial gifts, listen to your stories, airing your prayer requests, and in general, celebrating with you in the marvelous work of God through the broadcasting of the gospel. Please send back the response card you get in the mail or call us at 772-221-1100 to make a donation.